everybody. Welcome to Yeah But Still. Back again with us. I don't know how long it's been, but Knox
Fortune.
It's
been like 2 years.
2 years. Wow. You know, I know personally that we converted you to a pod boy in general.
True.
We popped your podcast cherry, which is weird because your first podcast experience was being a guest on one. And you had never even heard a podcast before, and now you're a full pod boy.
I would chill on pod boy.
Pod boy?
Pod boy.
Pod boy sounds way too close to proud boy for the casual listener.
You think, I thought you I would were going to say like...
You think people are mishearing it and being like, wait, Knox Fortune's a proud boy?
Somebody might hear that. They might hear you like, oh, yeah, like... You know, before you came on this podcast, you know, you weren't a pod boy, and they're like, this guy said proud boy. This is a, you know, this is a white
proud
supremacist
boy.
Pod.
It's proud boy.
Proud boy. Yeah,
I'm
what
one
accent?
Of the proud boys. P-R-O-D. I'm a production producer. I'm a proud boy. I've been a proud boy for about the last 6 years, actually.
Okay, a podcast listener. Knox became a podcast listener, and you enjoy podcasts now. After
I do,
yeah,
I consume like an ungodly amount because I think it's like I'm listening to music all the time, and when I want to like stop listening to music, I still need like some sort of stimulus. So I like will walk and listen to like 3 podcasts.
Dude, I do that too now. Sadly, I hate to admit it because I host a podcast, but like I consume a huge amount, and it's not even about. Getting something
from
the podcast.
Oh, no, that's not... You got to keep your mind pure.
Pure?
If you're a podcaster, I can't listen to... I don't listen to other men podcasts.
Oh, it's only women.
Yeah.
Only honestly, almost exclusively a female podcast lineup besides Brendan and Corey's podcast right now. But generally speaking, it is like... Like, I'm listening to the Call Her Daddy offshoot podcast now.
Bro, you do not need to be lecturing
Sophia
me about what to be
F.
listening to. You're listening to both Call Her Daddy offshoots, and you're trying to tell me
I'm
how to live.
I'm only listening to... I'm Team Sophia.
You're trying
all the
to talk
way.
About keeping your mind pure.
Yeah. I want to be on the record about that. But besides that, I mean...
I'm listening to, like, history podcasts while I garden. Like I'm like
yeah, okay. that's my
doing
vibe.
Home repair, like cleaning my house, listening to like history podcasts. That's keeping your mind pure. You're rotting your brain listening to what's quite possibly a fully coordinated hoax of a scandal.
Oh, that's you're like a weird Call Her Daddy truther. It would not be in Sophia's best interest for her to like have her fucking life ruined.
What is the conspiracy there? Like, is
redemption arc?
I just think that it's. I don't really believe it because I think it would just be way too elaborate of a plan. It would be amazing for them to pull it off, but they like it would be incredible if they coordinated with Barstool to just blow up this whole scandal and like turn it into
no,
two different
podcasts.
No, but
it doesn't make sense. Sophia's not at Barstool anymore. Dave Portnoy is a fucking like. Evil dude. I know way too much about the Call Her Daddy drama, and that's we can save that for another. We can talk about that on the hop on the Patreon, hop on the Discord, and join the discourse. The
yeah,
Call Her Daddy discourse.
Devote
a whole
episode on
guys,
Patreon to the.
Are you
the,
like
I, to another podcast?
Are you talking Call Her Daddy in our own Discord?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay. You're talking about I shouldn't be listening to another man's podcast. You're in our own podcast Discord talking about other pods.
Yeah, I care about like, you know, women in podcasting.
Yeah, you care about women's rights. Yeah. I'm kind of a male feminist. Yeah. I listen to Call Her Daddy.
I'm a podcast feminist.
Well, I don't even listen to Call Her Daddy anymore. I listen to Sophia with an F.
Wow.
That's what it's called.
That's very noble of you, I have to say.
And if you listen to Sophia with an F, you will be convinced that, you know, Alex really did her dirty.
I'm way more susceptible to all sorts of conspiracy theories like that, like, where I'm, like, fully, like, you know, maybe they coordinated that. It's really not hard to coordinate. So as long as you're willing to sacrifice your, like, personal image for like 2 weeks, which is really all that happens, like you can get some really great benefits out of these sort of.
Oh, but like, she had her life ruined for months.
Well, yeah. I'm not.
And she
rose. In on the
she
scoop.
Rose like a fucking phoenix. And Jackie comes in casually touting out these conspiracy theories, just like floating out like, oh, maybe the whole Caller Daddy thing was a conspiracy. And, you know, it's if that was the case, then that's not the case. It's simply not the case.
If we could conceive some sort of
it's irresponsible.
Of like-
it's honestly irresponsible to even fucking. Act to even bring that up. This is you want to talk
I'm too
about.
Pilled.
You
maybe I'm too.
You want to talk about people being irresponsible with their platform. Jack comes in just off rip. He's like, "Hey, so we've got a get back on the pod for the first time in a couple of years ago. Okay, Knox Fortune, a new album coming out. Anyway, so yeah, that Call Her Daddy stuff was fake." Okay, wake up.
I interpret what happened in a slightly different way. In fact, I remember it being like. Me welcoming Knox Fortune and then like talking about him listening to podcasts and you're like, whoa, 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 stop it. I just want to take a minute here to plug a podcast called Call Her Daddy on the Barstool Sports Network.
Well,
this is
I
not a paid
wasn't.
Ad. I just want to
that
endorse
was,
this.
I was actually plugging Sophia with an F.
I want to endorse this
and
indie pod.
I wasn't plugging it. I was just sort of casually endorsing it, but I don't listen to Call Her Daddy anymore. I don't fucking fuck Call Her Daddy. Fuck Call Her Daddy, dude. I'm Sophia with an F all the way.
Yeah.
Dude, that's very, very pure of you.
I mean, that doesn't mean much. That's like saying fuck Destiny's Child. I listen to Beyonce.
I'm glad I'm on record about this.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that if they're, like, especially now, the idea of doing something like some publicity stunt like that sounds sick. Like, if we could determine some way to get my life, like, seemingly ruined for a year, but I really just, like... got to travel for a year and like had money in the bank. And then like a year from now I can emerge as like a brave hero. Like that doesn't sound like my life is.
It's a good deal. Like if me and Brandon were like, hey, like we're kind of done with this. Like what if we stage some drama and like, yeah, but still we'll be five times bigger after it. And like whichever one of us leaves to do a solo pod will also be the same size and bigger. It's like a pretty good deal. It's like, oh yeah, we're both going to make five times as much money and right. Just like this fake thing. You know, it's smart. I don't know if they pulled it off, but you know, it's just weird. It's weird that it was all aired out so publicly. I'll say that.
I actually don't know anything about it. And I don't know if like I want to learn right now.
No, we're not going to do that.
I'll send you some
PDFs. All the information.
Anyway, I'm really glad we spent 8 minutes of our own podcast talking about one of the most popular podcasts on the entire RSS network iTunes charts, you know? Just straight up doing a Call Her Daddy review pod. I'm like Chris Hardwick style, talking dead.
Oh, it's after, yeah. God damn. Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah, talking dad.
I mean, if I'm going to listen to multiple podcasts today, I definitely go more of the route of, like, a historical podcast. I think it's just, like, the way that you say you have to keep your brain
pure. Yeah,
and that is
history.
Yeah.
I can't listen to new
history.
Music. I don't like any new
music. It's hard to find new music now. Like, Spotify, don't get me started on this like rant, but Spotify is like, it's hard to find new music on like the players now because they used to recommend like bands to me, but now it's just like Spotify just tells you to listen to the stuff you already like.
Yes.
Spotify tells me to listen to Knox Fortune every day. It's like you would love Knox Fortune. And it's like, wow. Like, like my girlfriend, her Discover Weekly has like me in it every week. It's like, you're not even trying to like
the algorithm just serves you stuff that you're already listening to.
Dude, no, and, all that
and
shit.
So
the worst thing is that it used to be good. It used to be good. Like when Spotify first came out, like it would if you listen to like a kind of big band, it would start recommending the smaller bands that are similar, you know?
Yeah.
And
we're in a really horrible time of music discovery, which is sad because we're in a really good time of music, I think. Like there is tons of good stuff coming out, but, like, I highly doubt either of you guys look at the Billboard charts. but the top like 20 songs on the billboards songs that like no one listens
to.
Yeah, you're a chart head, of course.
I'm addicted to checking the chart. I'm an absolute chart shark. What can chart I say? Hound. I'm a chart shark. I love checking the charts. What? Oh, I love it. I love checking the charts. Who's
what character is this?
That's the guy who loves charts.
I'm just into the charts.
That's the chart shark.
The chart guy. That's my
new character, the chart shark.
A hard part about Zoom is like if you get too loud, it auto mutes you. So at a certain point, I just like see you thrashing around there with the mic.
Well,
I can't hear you.
Anytime I like do a guy, anytime I do like some kind of character work on the podcast, it's just me like being like,
sometimes I like when people scream on pods and it's just like, and just like blows out like everything.
Oh, it's the best.
Especially when like I'm on just like a nice walk by myself, and it's sometimes it's you too.
No,
now that I'm thinking about it, like you're the one that does that.
Yeah, you're literally just describing me. Yeah. Like, yeah, I've definitely ruined a lot of people's walks and drives.
Yeah.
Just like you're listening, you're driving, you're listening to my podcast, you know, and then you just hear like a, you fucking swerve, your fucking car's wrapped around a tree.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to anybody who's listening right now.
I hope nobody wraps their car around a tree listening to this podcast.
That is very funny though that Spotify recommends you to yourself.
Yeah, it's like so. I don't know. I think it's like I think they like became such a big power, and then like now have all this power and are kind of like we don't have the like. Way out of this. Like, we don't actually know how to, like, run this as smoothly as we once did. There's, like, something like 40,000 new songs added every day to Spotify.
Well, all of the big companies have these really, really powerful algorithms that are, like, almost too powerful, and then they don't know how to use them properly. Like, I will not go down this hole, but if you want to talk pilled, I have very pilled opinions on TikTok. Like, I basically...
Dude, me too.
I'll sum it up. I basically think that like Charli D'Amico or whatever her name is and like Addison Rae and all them, like I think it's like purely a fluke of the algorithm that they're famous at all. Like
they're very like they're just like normal.
I have like look, this is backed like up. Like a lot of people. This isn't even like a theory. It's just like the way it is. But TikTok is run off of like a very powerful algorithm that makes
by
it
the
like,
way when you when you started talking about the TikTok algorithm, I thought there was like a part of me that thought that you were just like about to be like, yeah, you know, it's fucked up, man. You know, the TikTok algorithm is making me a pedophile.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The algorithm is trying to make me a pedophile. And I keep telling my phone, I do
and
not
I'm
want
showing
to be a pedophile.
These
stop
girls.
It.
I don't
want to be on the pedophile app.
No, there was like a week, though, when Reels was introduced. Where Explore page would have like just like teens.
Yeah, no. I know.
Okay, yes. This is a lot of people have been.
Me and Brandon joked about that, and like we've definitely made fun of people for saying that because it's like, bro, that's based off your browsing history. But I will say that's not true because I had to for work start a clean Instagram account. No activity. It's not engaged in any posts. It's connected to a blank email, and it's being presented like. All of the weird like high school dancing videos, and it's so it's
weird.
Like default giving you that stuff.
I think I keep pressing see fewer posts like this so often that Instagram is like, are you interested in hardware?
Oh no,
like,
bro!
They just are like, I have no fucking clue.
That's
you don't
a good
like
place
anything,
to be.
Dude.
That's what mine's like now. It's just like tools.
Yeah,
it's pretty sick.
Which is sick. I think we talked about this maybe a little bit last time, but like.
Oh, we absolutely did, because you were talking about how every time you get on Instagram, the Explore page is like, Juice WRLD, eat pancake.
But now mine's like moved to like, just like insane videos of like, people cutting glass and stuff like that.
It's
and
satisfying.
Like, I'm slightly interested in this.
Yeah. Well, it's better than, it's a weird default to just give you like, pedophilia content. Like, that's like the weirdest default for the app.
Yeah. Aphebophilia content.
Aphebophilia? Yeah. Ephebophilia content. Just like, yeah, not sure what to watch? How about watch these high school girls dance? Like, just such a weird app.
There is no difference in jail. I will say, there's no difference in jail, but on the forums, they do love to tell you the difference between pedophilia and ephebophilia. Like, that's, I feel, crazy. Like at, so much of my early experience of like the internet, just before everything was sort of, the algorithm really did fuck up everything. It's just, the internet is too streamlined, and I do think that there was like YouTube was, now you go on YouTube and it's just whatever was on NBC the night before.
I know.
It's just late night clips from the night before.
Like when I was like a kid, I would like, the Wild West. It was fun though, because it was like, I was like 10 years old going on like incubus.com.
Hell yeah.
Just like Incubus's band page or something. And I would spend like 15 minutes on it, like browsing around being like, oh, that's a cool picture of them. Like, or like just like looking at posters that I can't buy, and like that's what it used to be. Now it's like I have to go to YouTube, or I have to go to Twitter, or I have to go to Instagram, and that has everything.
If you haven't like hacked into the algorithm, if you haven't become somebody that the algorithm serves people, then you're kind of like lost at sea.
For sure. It's so weird. I like literally sometimes I'm like, all right, well, like let's try to not like use the normal websites today, because there's only like 7 I can use. And I'll go off the beaten path, and it's like deserted, dusty old internet where it's like, oh, this website hasn't been updated since like 2005. And
oh,
like,
wait, which guys, can I just like interrupt this to give some relevant information? I just went in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, what's that?
I went in the Wayback Machine and I went to limpbizkit.com to check what it was like in 1999. And I just found, can you see this?
Yes.
I'll read this out loud. There's a letter on this. This is definitely not their official site.
This is an incredible find.
Yeah, okay.
Jack.
I'm just going to read this. It's an entirely black HTML screen. This is February 8th, 1999. I'm checking limpbizkit.com. Here's what it says. I can't run this Limp Bizkit site anymore. I got this domain, bought it out of pocket so I could promote one of the fattest bands out there. Fattest is spelled with a PH. All I ever wanted to do was give props to the band. I never wanted a fucking dime or special treatment. All I wanted was the record company and the management to show me a little love and give me the information and shit on the band. All the fans who came here were always kick-ass and helped me make this one of the best Limp Bizkit pages. Fuck it, though, people. I give up. The record company management just don't want to fucking help me with this information, tour dates and all that shit. And it took all of my effort just to find that shit through the grapevine. Interscope just clowned my ass. And the firm, Limp Bizkit's management, were extremely nice, thank you, but never called me back. The mailing list I set up had over 2,000 kids reading and kicking it on a daily basis. Still, no love came. And I don't think it's going to come. This is by no way meant as a commentary on the band. ..
Yeah, by the way, you're just reading a guy's suicide.
I know. Limp Bizkit totally kicks ass. If I'm going to do less than a top rate job on their site, then I can't do it at all. Fred was mad cool to me when we spoke, and he said he would try to work this shit out. But I'm not sure he's been doing shit like touring and making amazing music that rocks my world. Sam, John, Lethal, Wes were always the best when I met them. But like I said, they all have a job to do. So again, all I wanted to, it just kind of keeps rambling around.
Dude, this is
so I'm just going to skip a couple lines.
Keep going.
You can get in touch with me by emailing cannabisindica@yahoo.com. And then it appears that there's an edit, like an update. I just want to thank all the people who emailed me already. I've gotten hundreds of fucking responses! !! And that's it. Like,
dude.
But
God,
let
damn.
Me skip ahead in time.
Oh my God.
cannabisindica@yahoo.com.
Oh, I love this. This is incredible.
You should check in. You should email cannabisindica@yahoo.com.
By the way, what an email address. You know,
this is so funny. I just love that the first line is, I can't run this Limp Bizkit site anymore.
It's just
like this dude's having like a mental breakdown, like the demand is insane. Like They won't even help me out with the tour dates. Like, this is fucking crazy.
Remember, like it's amazing to think back to going to band websites, though. You know, oh, it looks like they took over at a certain point. Okay, wait. I'm going to blindly go to another. What other band check? Korn.com? Like,
Korn would be cool. I remember going on like systemofadown.com or something, or like some people had like cool ones. Like,
were you a forums guy at all?
I was a forums guy. I was a member on a forum called skateboardcity.com.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. And then I
sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was definitely cool. I'm not going to give away my name on it because I feel like that would be like too crazy.
No, you should. You should. I gave away my Toon Zone info. And you got to like lay your soul bare, dude.
I actually went back and checked to make sure I was like, in the event I was discovered as this person on skateboardcity.com, the message board, that I didn't say anything like insensitive or anything like that. And I went back and I didn't find anything.
It's just all racism.
But I was like, dude, you never know. Then say,
drop your username. Drop your Skateboard City username.
I think it was I Miss Raza Libre.
Okay.
That's a very complicated one.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say earlier when we were talking about forums, like, so many forum discussions I saw when I was, you know, fucking 13, 14, is just a bunch of grown men sort of like a bunch of grown men being like, well, actually it's called ephebophilia and it's different than pedophilia. Pedophilia is one thing. Ephebophilia is another thing that is actually a lot more normal. And, you know,
I'm not
weird. Kinda, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so it's a lot of that. And then a lot of dudes self-diagnosing themselves with Asperger's.
Yeah, oh, I mean that's sure. There's still a lot of like, that now too.
there's a lot of people on those forums that were like, I have not talked to any medical professionals about this, but I have decided that I definitely have Asperger's. And I remember reading that enough that I was like, yep,
me too.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. The original, yeah, the original me too.
Yeah.
So a bunch of men. That was the original me too movement.
Pretending you had Asperger's.
Yeah, a bunch of men on internet forums diagnosing themselves with Asperger's.
Oh God.
And it's still, dude, that's still going too. The next generation's doing it. They're taking it even a step further. I follow a few pages where it's like just clips of people pretending to have different illnesses. And like faking it really bad. Mostly like shit like that, where it's like somebody clearly pretending to have autism, like doing a really bad job acting.
Yeah, like I do think that people that diagnose themselves with it are doing a disservice.
Just go to
like,
the doctor. Just go,
people.
Go sure. to the doctor. Yeah. Why don't you just go make it official?
Also, we were complaining about just the homogenous nature of it all. And you and I, a couple weeks ago, whenever the Pence stuff happened, we were talking about how it feels like everybody's just sharing like one brain, like it's just full homogenous. Everybody has this like one communal brain now, which is like was not the case on forums. Like, I don't know, man, but it's what were we talking about? I got distracted.
I had to like in that regard, that's why I was saying like I can't really listen to new music anymore because I do think like we're all like taking part in this homogenous brain, and the more I take part into it, the more I feed into it with what I put out. So like if I listen to like three new albums, like I notice I start making things like that. And also I think like you can hear it in music now too. Music is being homogenized.
Yeah,
like everything, like, you know, I don't know.
It's and people try to act like people love to be like, oh, it's, you know, like they try to put a positive spin on it sometimes.
Well, I think like 5 years ago that was like legitimate, where people were like, genres are melding and they're not bad. Because at first, like, genre bending was like Limp Bizkit or something. It was like, it's rap and rock. This is awesome. And then it was kind of like, ooh, maybe we don't like that. And then we kind of got back to genre bending, and it was cool for like 5 years ago. Genre bending was cool, and it's always going to be cool, but now it's like less bending and more just like, what if we put trap drums over this acoustic guitar song? Now it's the number one song in the world. Like,
surrender to the algorithm, man. It's like really weird listening to like top 40 sometimes and just hearing some song where it's like, What's that? There's multiple songs. I think I'm describing multiple songs here, but there's multiple songs where it's like some country hook and then a big EDM drop.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
take me home, take me home.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That shit where you're like, what is this now?
Yeah.
Like,
who is this for? Like, who's like...
And apparently it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we're not like the majority of taste.
Here's the thing. Like, that there's always going to be like really shitty mainstream music, you know, that's just like designed to please as many people as possible. But what sucks is that, like, it's just hard to find non-mainstream music now. I feel like it's harder than ever. It's like actively being hidden from me. Where it's just
Dude,
like
I
with
feel
all
like
this,
that is somebody promoting an album right now. I'm like, I feel like I can't cut through some of these channels because there's
like,
too much
you,
like shit in the way.
You have to like
you just hit me up to come back on the podcast, but there's no you're just kind of doing this all yourself.
Like
kind of. I mean, like yeah, like getting press. Like I haven't gotten any press for this stuff. Not complaining about it, but it's just like the landscape is totally different now because of like what is deemed important to cover and, you know, things like that, which changed in a good way, but also, like, definitely making it kind of hard for, like, independent artists for show.
It's even hard for, like, even if you had a strong fan base to, like, force virality, you know, on these streaming platforms, it's like they've completely removed the controls. Or they've taken the controls where it's like, even if your fans were, like, doing the BTS thing where they're just, like, streaming it all the time, it's like, they wouldn't do anything. Like, Spotify, you need to, like... You know, go to their pedophilia rituals or whatever to like drink the blood. And
I mean, there's people that
somebody.
6ix9ine hacked the algorithm.
He did. He was such a like, oh god.
By hacking the algorithm, you mean going to jail?
He's really cunning. I mean, that's
the way he was charged with those crimes.
He did
and
hack
snitched.
The algorithm, dude.
Yeah.
Well, he got. Well, he fucking. Like got out of jail real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his and life seems so sad. I saw a video of him the other day and I'm like, God.
Well, it's like
I will say but he stuck the landing in a way that most people could not come out of like just spending a full year being like this shamed figure, this presumed dead, you know?
Yeah.
He's this guy who snitched on everyone and then came back and was like rapping about being a snitch like just
no he played it he like, played it really well like he played his hand really well
he did play it really
well. That being
well.
Said
like,
though
does,
there's like been many times
he moves like Trump
sure yeah that being said I'll always hear people say like reference people like him as if he's had like this genius plan you know like oh like what he did it's like so brilliant the way he like marketed himself and it's just like I mean not really. He went to jail like and ruined his life.
He tattooed,
no, but, like barely.
He,
like, the
he
smarter...
tattooed his whole body with 69.
Yeah, it's like do like, you want to do the equivalent
no,
of that?
I
like,
think
it's like a lot of work.
I think you're being reductive.
Why?
No, no.
How am
it's,
I being
it's
reductive?
Not reductive.
I do think that he is like I think There's, he's like kind of a master manipulator.
I mean,
yeah, but that's not like an admirable trait.
There's like,
no, I don't. I think it's sociopathic. I think that he's that. I'm not like I want to break bread with the man. I don't want to. I don't want 6ix9ine in my home.
No,
I don't want to have you know.
Def not. But I do think it's like at what like that's the problem right now for like people like I guess like people like myself who's like. You know, an independent artist who doesn't want to fully, like, sacrifice their integrity to break through.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, I'm literally competing. Like, my friend Carter and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, as a musician...
Oh, Carter Lang, right?
Yeah. Like, you're literally...
Produce Sunflower
and SZA's stuff and all that. But it's like, as a musician now, like, you're not competing with musicians. You're competing with, like, the dude from Ripley's Believe It or Not whose eyeballs come, like, 3 inches out of his head. And, like, that's who I'm competing against for attention.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't fucking compete against that dude.
And
like,
it's not
I
like you really necessarily want to either. That's, like...
And I don't want to. I don't envy those people.
People that, like...
Absolutely. Like, it's nice to, like, small batch. You do small batch stuff. I'm doing small batch stuff over here. Mm-hmm. At no point do I feel like I'm not, I have no delusions of grandeur here. I'm not like, no. Oh man, Sarah Cooper is my competition.
No, like that's psychotic. Like once again, like I don't envy those people whatsoever. Right. Like there's, you know, like so many just like YouTube musicians now and Instagram musicians you see, especially since like, you know, people have been locked in the house where it's just like dudes pretty much taking the coffee shop to their crib and like doing these like weird like acoustic guitar concerts in their living room, getting shitloads of views. And I'm like, I don't envy you though. Like you are succeeding, but you're
it's very confusing to me. It's just sort of, it does make me feel increasingly isolated. Like the more I continue to just exist in culture, like I increasingly feel like, I don't know. I mean, if I just never become more famous than I am now, that's fine. Whatever, yeah. You know, like you get older and you're like, well, I like the things that I like. I don't want to sacrifice my integrity. I don't want to like, you know, lose my humanity for clout, whatever.
For sure. But I'm kind of past that point.
Right. Like you exactly. You know,
Really happy I never got to that point either. Like looking like, you know, we're both 28, but like looking back, I'm like, dude, I'm happy that I like achieved a level of like, you know, I got to tour and stuff for like 6 years or so. Like that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I never had to like tattoo my face or like,
no, it's,
be in
I
a
mean,
scandal
there's like at a certain
something.
Point, like to be that famous, like you have to have something like kind of wrong with you.
Wrong with you. It's like wanting to be the president.
Or
like,
it's
if
like,
you want
right.
to be the president, like there's something wrong with you.
Or you're
it
so talented
be a, it
that
be a
it was inevitable. Or you're so talented that it was completely inevitable where you're like, oh, like like you were going to be famous no matter what. Like,
yeah,
it might
be like Whitney Houston or something.
Yeah, it's like, just like, oh, you
like,
they just
I
have
think
it.
The people that I respect are the people that there are people that do, you know, break into, you know, become a part of the fabric of monoculture that make these things that are huge, but then they only do that. They put out their work, but they're not every day just like reminding you that they exist.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It's,
which is like a dignified way to live. You can live a dignified life.
Right.
Yeah.
And so many people choose not to. If I had a TV show, I wouldn't be on fucking Instagram all day. You know, there's people that like have TV shows that are on like responding to trolls all day. And it's like, you don't have to fucking do that.
But for some, like, I feel like for some people, and like, I'm not advocating this because I'm not like an Instagram heavy user really or anything, but like you kind of have to now for some jobs, which is kind of whack because it's like when I signed up to be a musician,
yeah, when you like, went to the Illuminati
meeting. Wasn't signing up to be a social media like content creator, you know what I'm
right.
saying, which is what the job has turned into.
Yeah,
half it's like, yes, you want to put out a good album, but like, you know, I'm about to drop my second project ever, and there
you
are
want people,
people
to hear it,
and
right.
I want people to hear it. But there are people who are like fully surpassed me in the span of a year by just like being funny on Instagram, like not
yeah.
releasing music, but they're like, or they'll release like two songs in a year, and then they'll just kind of be like content creators,
right?
And it's like they have their success,
but
I'm
yeah,
like,
there is something that is respectable about the taking the long road.
I think it's the move.
Being a career artist and not like, you know, if you're, cause I, you know, you'll see people that are just so focused on the like real ephemeral stuff
mm-hmm.
and then you can burn out way too quick. But if you just keep it, if you have like a small cult following, it's like you can never really like fall off.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say earlier,
love talking
shop,
fellas. Love talking shop
I mean,
over here.
I know we're bouncing around,
yeah.
but I do think that this will be, I think people will listen to this and appreciate this is a sincere, insightful convo, I think.
You know,
I like that people just have such an opinion of things now and they can actually directly contact the people they're talking to.
Oh, yeah.
Like, somebody the other day commented on one of my new YouTube videos and said, like, you should make another song like Little Thing. Because people like aesthetic music. And I was just like, isn't all music like aesthetic music? Like, but it's definitely just like,
yeah, what does that mean?
People
I don't know.
Use
it's
the word
just
wrong.
Like a 9-year-old who's
people
on
use
YouTube
the word wrong.
Like,
it really bothers me.
Aesthetic?
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Because I just don't think people really know what it means. It's like saying, like, you should make, like, a creative song.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Like, I would hope all the songs are creative.
Dude, like, you should make a song that has a real unique sound.
Yeah.
Your next song should, like, sound like something. Yeah. But a lot, you know what I'm saying? It should sound like something a lot, like a lot of sound.
No, it should sound like a hit. It should sound like a hit.
Dude, that's an even better idea.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that,
Your next song should sound like... Another person commented on the video and said, you should make more music.
That's another good idea. Why don't you listen to these people,
man? Putting out a whole album.
Dude, why don't you listen to them, man?
I don't know. I've been trying to recently. I think these people really have a lot to say.
Okay, wait. It should sound like more sound, more music,
more sound,
and make a hit. Boom.
Maybe
right there.
Maybe louder.
You know, we're sitting here.
Damn.
You know, we're sitting on our hands over here complaining, and the plan's
I've been
right
on vacation
there.
For 3.5 years.
Yeah, let's
and I didn't
go.
Know that I was supposed to be making more music until that dude told me. I'm very appreciative.
No, the fact that people have a direct line of communication is a little. It's rough.
It's so bad.
Yeah, there's definitely. I mean, identity is a prison, man.
Luckily, our everybody that listens to us is pretty nice. People that listen to us people that listen to us, they're all pretty nice.
Oh, I mean, I'm very happy with like the people that listen to this podcast, and it's like it's big enough that I can like make a living off of it and not freak out when the pandemic hits about not being able to, you know, do live shows.
It is,
but yeah.
When somebody is mean though,
even
it
if
throws
you like
me
your,
off.
I more so feel bad for like women in general,
stuff.
Like you know,
like the Call Her Daddy girls.
What'd you say?
Like the Call Her Daddy girls. You feel bad
for
them.
Like people like there, you know, there used to be like getting a number was like kind of sacred, and it like took a lot of like courage in like a funny way. Like it was like a thing. You had to go up to somebody and be like, can I have your number? And they would be like, no. Or they'd
then
be
you're
like, yes.
I have a
and
gun.
Now it's just like, Jessica Biel, I'm DMing you right now. Please notice me. Like,
yeah.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, people should not be able to directly DM a cum tribute to a celebrity. And I'm sure that this is happening constantly.
On a daily basis, for sure.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I know firsthand, you know, I've been, you know, DMing all of these,
I shouldn't be able
DMing
to do this.
All of these, I've been DMing all of these cum tributes to,
you're like, I actually disagree. I really like the ability to reach out
every
to some
time,
of these people.
I've been, every time
I've been
Brandon does
DMing
it.
DMing all of these cum tributes to, Don Lemon.
Every time you do it, you send it and you're like, I should not be able to do that. This is not chill. I'm able to send this.
Well, I did, you know, on one hand, you want to like show Don Lemon, you know, the ultimate form of respect for his work.
It's hard with
his work.
It's hard with Don Lemon
his work on the news
because he is on the TV and you're just coming on your own Roku TV.
Yeah. The cum tribute is me nutting on my TCL Roku TV.
Yeah. The screen's just getting ruined.
It's crazy though, because like I feel like for some people too, like my girlfriend gets DMs from people all the time, and you know she's not a celebrity or anything like that, but it's people being like, "Hey, I'd like to give you $100 gift card to Nobu," and that's like all they say, and it's
"Hey, I'd like to pay to pay for 1/3 of a meal at Nobu. You cover the rest." Yeah. Like I kind
but
of
at the same time,
you.
It's she's like, "Oh man, I kind of want to like accept this."
Yeah, she should. I mean, I think I encourage.
But then the doors are opened, and then you've like given them your number essentially. Yeah. So it's like now they're definitely going to be like, "Good morning, beautiful."
Well, yeah. If you respond once, then this person is just in your DMs forever. This has happened to me where somebody sends me like a nice message, and I'm like, "Hey, thank you," and then every day they're like DMing me like, "Hey, what's up?"
Like, and how is your brother doing?
It's definitely like, not something it's something I don't want to engage in too much. Like I try to just avoid it. But earlier when we were talking about just the algorithmic shit, whatever, I did want to mention this because this is like a crazy thing that I've noticed on YouTube where now there are people who I'm sure this has been happening for years, but because the like ecosystem of YouTube has changed so much, there's people that are just trying to play that game from the jump, right? Where it's like people that have like zero subscribers, and nobody's watching their shit, but they're acting like YouTubers act.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, yeah, so...
They're talking to the non-existent audience. People on Instagram do that
too. You're performing to... Yeah, like a non-existent audience, but you're playing the role of somebody with an audience.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird when you see people in your everyday, like, personal life start doing those things?
Oh,
it's... Like, start doing, like, front-facing camera things.
One of the weirdest things is all of a sudden a personal friend that you know in real life suddenly goes from having a normal person Instagram account to all of a sudden they're speaking to an audience that doesn't exist. Like, hey, guys.
You're watching them lose their soul.
Not only that, the worst is if they're, like, apologizing. Like, hey, guys, sorry I haven't posted in a while. Like, dude, nobody cared.
Nobody's checking for this.
It's so weird.
Like, this is literally your cousins liking your posts. Like, it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, I've lost my soul in the past, but then I got it back. I got my soul back, you know, but... It's because I don't know. There was like a phase where I was like posting a lot, but in my mind, I was like, oh, well, this is like ironic. I'm being vapid ironically, but like that's not okay. It's not okay to be vapid ironically. And that's something you see so much of online, like constantly.
I'll give it an even different twist for you. We don't even need to say you've been crazy on there before, but that's okay. Because you are in the game. You're in the game, and sometimes you got to be crazy. You know?
True.
Sure.
You're in the game. Yeah. These people aren't in the game.
It's weird when there's, like, people I know from, like, elementary school posting, like, videos on, like, how to make a perfect cup of coffee or something where you're like, we all know how to do... Or, like, people making, like, smoothie videos, like, how to make a smoothie. It's like, yo... Babies can make smoothies, like real life babies. Yeah. Like, you don't need to like make these videos.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a whole other tangent that I don't know if I really want to get into.
Oh, like people that are not forward facing public figures that are behaving like they're fucking public figures, like,
or just people that don't know what they're talking about, like acting as like a teacher.
Oh, that's a new thing too.
That's definitely a new
thing. This is a very new phenomenon, and I don't want to go too much into the TikTok build. I didn't even get to finish my theory, but I see that a ton now on TikTok where it's like there's so many versions of it where I'll just see like a teen will like screen record them like scrolling through a Wikipedia article about like the Mothman. Let's just say it's the Mothman or something, and then they'll be like talking. It'll be like layered over their voiceover, be like, so it was this creature and it appeared on the bridge and like just like describing like the summary of a thing or like
from Wikipedia.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, you just like took an article and put it on TikTok and like, that's just weird. It's just weird. And there's
like,
so many versions of that, of like people like putting content from the internet onto TikTok. And it's just like,
I mean,
maybe it'll get views and like stuff, but it's, at the end of the day, it's like, dude, what are you doing? You're just like putting Wikipedia on TikTok. Like anybody can do that.
There's an entire TikTok account of just some guy reading other people's tweets and laughing.
Yeah, like shit like that. It's like, all right, like what's your game here?
I think that's a huge problem is how much of it is just, and then ultimately, even though we're criticizing it, we're kind of playing
promoting
into
it. Yeah.
We're kind of playing into it because I'm talking about like, yeah, oh man, like so much of the internet is just people regurgitating shit. It's just a fucking human centipede. It's a human centipede, Ouroboros, whatever. But by even talking about it, they won. By talking about it, it's like, well, now I'm the guy fucking talking about the
sure
thing.
Dude,
I will say I defend
ketamine, guys. Do ketamine.
Escape reality.
I want to plug ketamine real quick.
Escape your... I have a lot of friends from home, like, that I'm still friends with that have no social media.
That's tight.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And they, like, never got it. Like, they had Facebooks, and then, like, by the time college started, they just, like, stopped using Facebook and didn't get Instagrams.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I'm really jealous of you. Because I'll bring up something that's, like, not even, like, deep internet-y. Like, I'll bring up, like, I don't know. A Travis Scott shoe coming out, or Travis Scott McDonald, something like that, where it's like anyone with the internet like had to see that, and like they'll just be like, Wait, he's with McDonald's? Like, what? And you're like, dude, you're fucking so blessed.
Those are the freest
people
alive.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because you're not chained to the fucking zeitgeist.
That's true, yeah. But at the same time, we romanticize that type of person, but also that type of person is like, can easily become a QAnon type or like anything else where it's like they don't have anything to tell them the real situation or question their beliefs.
Like the crazy thing is like, that's the crazy thing about the internet is you can just click a couple of the wrong links and then you're like, it's fucking 5 hours later and you're like, I'm a QAnon guy. Well, no, Meatspin. I long for the days of Meatspin, yeah. Buddy.
That was pure internet usage back in the day.
That was like, honestly, like I truly do long for the days of Meatspin and, you know, like that era. Because I
love that you just said that like six times. You're like, I long for Meatspin.
It is. I long for Meatspin. One more thing about YouTube, like just talking about that era of the internet, when YouTube was like new, when YouTube was like brand new, and it was like when, you know, it was like those early like Bo videos and like Derek Comedy and like that, like Dax Flame, like a lot of, you know, like that era, it was like, oh, this is DIY and this is people just like, these things are blowing up organically, and you know, it is, these are things with like, there is some soul here. Mm-hmm. But then immediately I think because once it became corporate and once it became like, oh, this is everything that was on the Tonight Show last night, people had to like play the game and then start doing these like wacky thumbnails, and like they had to like fucking upload something every week, and it just became this like disgusting thing. Like it used to, I think people, there was definitely a phase where people were like, oh man, YouTube, like that's, we're gonna find the next Scorsese on YouTube.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
The suggestion,
yeah, I mean,
and then
YouTube
just immediately
great,
the suggestion algorithm has ruined everything.
To just like, yeah, people just choose to like bathe in the trash.
If
yeah, like,
if Martin Scorsese,
really
like
with the,
oh god, sorry,
with the dude, the Ocean Spray guy. The guy who drinks the cranberry juice. Where I'm like,
that video was fun.
It was for a second.
It is fun. And like, I don't want to take anything away from him, but I'm definitely denouncing everybody else that feels the need to do. It's like, it got ruined in fucking 30 seconds.
He's the new Damn Daniel. Like,
people
doing like a reenactment of the video and
with some sort of twist, and you're like,
right.
And now like Mick Fleetwood's doing it, which I guess is cool for the guy that originally did it. And I almost feel bad for him because it seems like things are going well. Like he's been given all this Ocean Spray, which is like a classic Pimp My Ride move of like, you liked that thing one time, so we're going to give you a lifetime supply.
Yeah,
of it.
He lives in a trailer with his daughter and Ocean Spray, like this giant company. He's like,
yeah, he's like,
you know what? We're going to help you out. Here's a shitload of cranberry juice. In case you get thirsty or your daughter gets a UTI, you're set.
Yeah,
yeah. Dude. You can't feed your children because there's no space for food.
Yeah, you have to pay for storage.
Yeah, like he lives in like a mobile home, and they're like, all right, so this is going to take up a third of your space. Yeah. But you're welcome.
I think they did give him a car too. I just remember they gave him a Nissan truck, which I was jealous of.
They gave him a truck.
That's
cool.
Very dope.
Yeah,
that's equity. That's a tangible thing that you have forever.
He probably boomed their sales.
Yeah.
Like, are there people with just Pimp My Ride cars that just have, like they have like a souped?
We got to do a follow up on that. We need to.
Dude,
let me say it right here.
They have
right here. If anybody listening knows somebody who had a Pimp My Ride car or had their ride pimped, I don't know how you would say that, we want to talk to them. You could email yabbutstillpod@gmail.com.
Dude, I think somebody's done some sort of follow-up thing.
Really?
I think somebody has done some sort of investigative thing.
A West Side Customs follow-up?
Yeah, where they like followed somebody who like had their car fixed and the guy was like, my car is like unusable now. Like they ruined my car. Like this is crazy.
Yeah, you got a fucking GameCube and a fish tank in your trunk.
It's unclear to me if they did engine work on those cars because a lot of them were just severely fucked up. And it'd be one thing if they completely rebuilt the engine and put new parts in, but I don't know if they were, or if they're just.
I don't think they were. I think it was. completely cosmetic. Like, there were a lot of those episodes where I felt like horrible for the people. Like, they were just like, they were the joke. Like, there was this one where this dude has like a bread truck and they replace his bread truck and make the seats slices of bread. And I'm like, this is not this guy's identity. He's in a really bad situation and he has to drive a fucking bread truck. Yeah. Like, this is not his joy.
He didn't start driving the bread truck because he likes bread.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, I remember, you know, I used to eat bread and now I'm driving the bread truck. Like, that's not his fucking, like, passion. I mean, I do think I will say, this is kind of a brain blast. This is kind of, are you guys ready for a freaking brain blast?
Yes, sir.
Right now? Get a load of this. Get a load of this knowledge, fellas. Pimp My Ride, I would say, is kind of kind of a metaphor for, you know, how our government treats its people, you know?
Wow.
They're worried about the optics. I'm pointing to my brain right now. they're worried about the optics. Pimp My Ride is like, Pimp My Ride is like the DNC.
I don't know where, I'm not following you on this one, brother. I'm not going to lie.
Pimp My Ride is like the DNC and like, it's, you know, people are like, you know, bringing their car into West Coast Customs, like, hey, I really want healthcare, please. I want us to have healthcare. And then Joe Biden brings out the car and he's like, Medicare, I'm lowering the age to 60. You know? And it's got like, it's got rims.
These seem like two different ideas. Like, one idea is,
this doesn't help.
The thing in common is that
I'm not seeing these ideas coming together.
I'm pretty sure this tracks. I come in having planned nothing, and I mean we come in, we're entering the intellectual Thunderdome.
We're kind of a political pod. You know,
I'm coming in no items. You know, I'm on Super Smash, no items, and I'm like, you know, the Pimp My Ride is kind of like the DNC, and then I kind of leave that to you, the listener, to kind of hear that and be like, yeah, this guy does offer some great insight.
Yeah, that's kind of like a Smash Brothers is kind of like the RNC if you think about it.
Yeah, because they smash things up.
Dude, stop listening to see. This is why, you know, everybody that's listening to Chapo, they're going to find out about this episode and they're going to convert.
Your mistake was even trying to explain it. It'd be probably be better if you just said that they are similar and like let the audience figure it out.
And let them figure it out.
In a lot of ways, Pimp My Ride is like the DNC, you know?
I mean, honestly, that point I was trying to make is Pimp My Ride. You know, because the engine failed immediately, but I was like, get a load of this GameCube in my trunk.
I miss a lot of those shows in like such a weird way where like it just like really like gave me space to zone out. Like, we were talking about listening to pods now and how we listen to like historical pods. Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, I'm gathering too much like dumb historical information in my brain. And I really just want to watch like an episode of Next or like, you know, something that's just like so like surface level that like I can just like
But isn't like everything that you look at on social like so surface level?
But it's not good. Like, I feel like Next was like, it was like, you know, I don't want to say like so bad it was good, because that's not actually how I feel. But like, it was, there were like, I laugh on, if I'm on Instagram, I will laugh maybe once every like 30 minutes.
But it's right. Like, there was a half an hour window where you're like, oh, let's watch some freaks. Let's watch some freaks.
Exactly.
And now it's just like all day you're scrolling the freaks.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's fine in moderation with like a little window to do it, you know? But now it's just constant. And it's all blending together. You know, and at a certain point you find yourself, you look in the mirror and you're the freak. That's the worst fear of all.
Oh boy.
You know?
Oh boy.
You realize your ride has been pimped.
Last night I was on like a really good streak in terms of like, I was, you know, I was off my phone. I was like, I was off my phone. I fucking, you know, I was reading.
I don't know about the streak.
I mean, in that day.
Okay.
I'm saying in that day where I was
like I had like a really hot 15 minute streak.
You know, like I was like, I'm only looking at it was like a good streak, honestly, because I was like, I had like written something I was proud of, and then I fucking watched better things. I was like, that's a great show, and I watched an episode of that. I'm like, all right, like let's turn that off. Let's go to the park. Let's read a book. I'm reading a Charles Portis novel, whatever. It's a great book. I come home. I watch Being There, the Peter Sellers movie. I had never seen it.
Where are you going? Where are you going with this? This is just you describing a day.
But then, you know, eventually my girlfriend goes to sleep. I'm alone. I'm left to my own devices. And then I'm like, man, what's Macklemore up to? And then I'm just on Macklemore's Instagram and I'm watching a clip of him on Celebrity Family Feud. And it's like Team Macklemore versus Team Lil Yachty.
This is all like, on you. This is all on you. This is not the algorithm. I mean,
this is you. But you look at a bunch of shit that you hate online.
Oh, I look at shit. No. But I don't look at it as a sickness. I just do it, and I view it as my choice.
I think I've started to view it as a sickness, and I've started to kind of try to prevent myself.
I compartmentalize.
From doing that.
I have times, you know. I
think it's funny that you were just saying that. You watch a TV show and you're like, that's like added to your like list of productive.
I know. It was a really funny window into his world.
Watching a good TV show. Like watching a good TV show.
He's describing these like accomplishments, you know? Like he's like,
No, I'm not. I absolutely am.
I got breakfast. I was very proud of myself. I ate breakfast and then I walked around.
But like eating, choosing to make decisions that like make you feel good.
Yeah.
No, but you're not alone in this. I know a lot of people who will be like, yeah, I had a busy day. Like I watched like this one like movie that was really good. And then like I listened to a podcast and I'm like, you're not doing anything. Yeah. I want you to know that you're not saying that. Actually. I know.
I'm not a guy who's like, I think binge watching is like, bad is like that's gross behavior to like binge watch.
The last
like,
thing I binge watched like properly,
a point
I think,
of pride
was The Sopranos, and I had to like stop doing it because it was making my brain so dark. Binge watching like The Sopranos or The Wire, like
I don't
just,
know.
Oh, I
just
mean,
kind
bro,
of
I
like
could binge
starting,
watch like anything easily.
I disagree because I can't. Think it is. It's a dark world. It's a funny show.
It's one of the best shows ever, but sometimes you just start to see yourself falling for the wrong people almost, and you're like, I want to be exactly like Tony Soprano. I know a lot of people say that have watched the show, or is like, you just start to be like,
yeah,
man,
I mean, those
shit's
are like,
cold
those
out
are...
here. Like this world is cold. Like I'm gonna be a savage. Like Tony Soprano. Like fuck it. Like it really had a crazy influence on me. That well, I was like,
at the end of the day,
yeah,
you just want a house, is what it is. And you're just like,
I just want a house.
You're just like,
yeah.
Damn, I need to be like Tony Soprano. Like really, you just want to own a home
and move to Jersey. Yeah.
It's like, damn, I guess that's what I gotta do. I gotta become a mob boss. I gotta change some things around, you know.
I'm trying to see an edit of, I want to see The Sopranos, but we edit all the scenes where Tony's with his gumas, you know.
Oh, I would.
We
love
edit
that.
Those scenes out. We edit out all the infidelity.
And he's just a family man.
Maybe, and then it's a show about a. Well, actually, if we edit out the infidelity, then it's still kind of a rocky situation at home. But
dude, my cousins, like back in the day, they had a fire in their house and their insurance paid for them to move to this house that was formerly Al Capone's hitman's in Illinois. And it was the craziest house ever. And it was like a ranch house, like a one-story ranch house with like a double basement. And the way you got into the second basement was there was like a wall of mirrors with these like... That in each mirror was like 1 foot by 1 foot, and there was like tiles, like it was like seamed, and eight of the mirrors you'd push them, and it would be a stairway downstairs to the real basement.
This is sick.
Which had a two-story meat locker.
Whoa. Okay.
God damn.
This is what I'm talking about. We've been talking about fucking YouTube. You know. Meanwhile, you have this.
I just remember that. I was like, I feel like I should bring this up on the pod. This seems like something you guys would be interested.
No, yeah,
in.
That's sick.
They should stop calling it Pornhub and start calling it the Meat Locker.
Ooh.
Yeah, you should bring that up.
Yeah, you
it's
should
a
pitch
terrific
that.
Idea.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys should consider
great ideas all
you
day.
You guys should consider switching your iconic brand name to something new.
To
just throw it all away.
The Meat Locker.
Rebrand to the Meat Locker.
But yeah, I watched the Super Bowl at that house the year Janet Jackson's boob got pulled
out.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, shit.
And it was to
you're
give you a sense of how
to
cool
beat your
this
meat
house
locker.
Was.
ASAP.
While the Super Bowl halftime show was playing, I was literally just like shooting hoops in one of those like Dave and Buster's basketball things. Mm-hmm. Like that was just like in the house. They had a bowling alley.
Oh, wow.
But the dude got killed in the house.
Oh, wait, the previous owner.
The previous, in yeah, like,
not
in like
you
the
were
30s.
Watching.
No,
not during
it sounds
the,
like
and then, the Super Bowl.
You know.
And then after Janet Jackson's boob got pulled out, someone got shot. No, the dude got killed in the kitchen making pasta in like the 30s. But
what a stereotypical way to fucking die.
I actually don't know if that's true or if I just regurgitated like some like rude stereotype.
I know.
Yeah, like,
well,
here's
the thing. I'm going to believe you on this one. But as a fellow Chicagoan, I will say that like every Italian kid went through a phase growing up. Like every single like proud Italian kid would be like, yeah, actually, my family's in the mafia. Like when the Sopranos came out, it was like a whole thing. Like, yeah, actually my dad knows a guy who is Al Capone's like guy, you know?
Hitman. Yeah.
So actually you should let me borrow your Pokemon cards or else.
I always feel like that person when I bring up this particular house, because you're so right. It's like such like a Chicago thing where it's like,
yeah
my uncle's actually like Jimmy Capo who like killed Al Capone in jail.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like people all have these like crazy like family lies that have been passed.
And you know what? Actually, I need to adjust my comment from before. It's usually not the actual Italian kid. It's like their closest friends, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's just like literally some random Italian kid. And it's like, no, dude, here's the thing. Their dad's in the mob. Like I saw him and he was wearing a sweatsuit. Like walking around. So he must be in the mob, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says he works for AT&T. Yeah, right, dude. You know what that means.
He works for the city.
Yeah, he's
okay,
a civil engineer. Okay. Yeah.
No, but the seeing Tony Soprano's house, seeing the money, it really made me, you know, motivated. That's how I should be looking at the show. I should look at it and say, this is a really positive guy who's looking after his family and I want to get some money just looking at
it. I think you're interpreting the show in the correct way. I think you really
Yeah, that's
an American dream.
That was David Chase's intention. Mm-hmm.
These are cool guys.
Making that show is he was like, I want people to watch this show and think, damn, I want to be rich.
Yeah.
That's why he made that show.
That's
dude.
Like once again to bring it full circle with the 6ix9ine thing and people looking at 6ix9ine be like, man, that guy's a genius. Like he got all this attention and all he had to do was go to jail and snitch on all his friends live in danger for the rest of
his life
under threat of violence. Like there's probably gonna be people that are gonna try to kill him. But look at all the attention he got. It's like same type of thing. People look at like the mob, like, dude. Look at Tony Soprano. He has a two-story house in the suburbs. And
dude, he has it made.
He's so sick. He drives a Lexus or whatever, and all he has to do is be the leader of a mob family like, and have all his friends get murdered and be constantly investigated by the FBI and his family completely fall apart.
I want to like visit the where they shot it.
Oh, it'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, you can.
So, yeah, we've been trying to like get out of the city a lot more. And I was thinking it'd be fun to just drive to like Jersey and like see his house.
You should. I'm sure all those locations are online. Just, you know, print out the addresses, do a little tour, go to Bada Bing.
I'd love to go to the Bada Bing. I've been to a couple.
Is
like,
the Bada Bing real?
You could probably go to like the exterior. I'm sure it's not real, but you know.
Yeah. I've been to like the waterfall from Twin Peaks.
So have I. That's a good stop.
Oh, sick.
That was cool. I played a show at Washington State University with Joey back in the day. Where like it was kind of near there and we like went and stopped by and it was cool, but it's weird going back to those places and realizing like some of them are just like functioning businesses or like non really functioning, but like the Double R in Twin Peaks is like actually a diner you can go to, but
it was
like,
a little sad to me.
You go there and you're like, oh
yeah, because like
yeah, oh yeah,
then like their whole thing is Twin Peaks now. Where it becomes like
is this in Chicago?
No,
this is in Twin Peaks, Washington.
Oh no, Twin Peaks, Washington. My bad. Yeah, Washington State.
Have you watched Twin Peaks? Bro,
I know.
Never talk to me about being of pure mind.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I watched. I've seen his.
I'm allowed to watch garbage because I've like seen all of the shows.
Because you've seen all of the, because you've seen The Wire and
I've,
Mad Men
I've completed
and,
it. Like, there's not many left. I'm watching.
You're at the end. That's how I definitely feel that way too, where I'm like, I can watch whatever I want. I've unlocked trash.
And
I've unlocked trash. Yeah. I watch so much TV, I unlock the trash section.
Achievement unlocked.
You have to eventually.
You know.
You know?
Brain rotting. Yeah.
And by the way,
no, you should.
I think it's okay. I think it's okay to rot my brain too, because I view it as part of my job. You know, to host this show, I got to rot my brain a little bit. I got to look at the trash. I got to dig through the garbage, the social shit. I have to, you know, rot it a little bit. That being said, I wouldn't be doing it for fun. Like, if I was a coal miner and I saw somebody like going and getting black lung down the mine, not making money, I'd be like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you covered in soot right now? Like, so I'm not going to sit here and complain too much about the act of
to
being
watch
online.
TV.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, because I mean, yeah, we have too much free time, so we have to punish ourselves.
Yeah, I definitely miss just getting out of the house and having that be my entertainment. I still get out of the house all the time, but like I miss touring a lot. So many it'll eventually come back, but less even about the touring and more so just like being able to like go places and like
and just like exploring
spontaneity.
Like exploring in a city. And I think like also, yeah, if you're going to be stuck in a city, LA is not the city to be stuck in.
What is the city?
Yeah.
What's
Yo, that? New York has actually been really
I would
dope.
Say, well, I would say honestly, like somewhere that's just kind of like secluded.
So not
right
a city.
Now. Yeah.
So
like
if you're
going to
be stuck in a city, not a city is the city.
Choose a damn
Listen,
town.
Listen, brother, if you're going to be stuck you got to be stuck in a place that's not a city, okay?
But I do think, there's shows. Doing shows again has helped a little bit.
Do you like doing it?
For me. The outdoor shows?
Yeah, I did.
Brandon's addicted to shows.
You definitely are addicted to doing shows. Like, I mean, I think you have to. To do what you do.
Because you have to do shows to fucking do shows. Like, you have to do shows to, like, be a stand-up comedian. You can't, like, call yourself a stand-up comedian and then just not do shows. You have to, like, fucking do it. And that's also, like, how you fucking figure out jokes and shit. But I did
finally find a spot. I mean, if it were up to me, I would never do a show.
Really?
It's an afterthought for me. I really like being in a studio and making music, and I like don't like to really like go on a stage and like perform in front of people.
But you were
that
kind
much.
Of you were on like the festival circuit with that first album. We like linked it
in
we
Vegas.
Were both performing it. Yeah, Life is Beautiful, and you know
that was fun. I mean, I had like a great band that was like fun dudes, and like I really enjoyed like. I mean, the festival circuit is like brutal. It's like, because every weekend you have to fly to another place for the weekend and you have no idea where you're like, who you're going to play to. Like, I've properly played at festivals to like 15 people and I flew to like Seattle, you know, and I'm just like, wow, this like blows. And then I've also like flown to Japan and played for like 20,000 people. And I'm just like, oh, this is completely like not up to me, it feels like.
Yeah, we talked about that because there were like a lot of these festivals where you would get these like afternoon slots, like early afternoon slots, where people aren't even, a lot of people just aren't at the festival yet.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you mentioned like, what was the thing in Japan? Wasn't it like Nickelback?
Oh, yeah, no, I shared a green room with Nickelback in Japan.
Wow.
Like we did not get to like, I didn't get to like meet Chad or any of the guys or anything like that, but they were like, they kicked us out of the green room cause they were like, Nickelback's coming in. But it was,
so you didn't really share it.
No,
you were like, back to
but,
back.
But when we got there,
Nickelback showed up.
When we got there, though, the door for my green room said like Knox Fortune X Nickelback.
I mean, that's a great,
and I was just
that's a
like,
great sign.
dude, I was so excited. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, Nickelback is just going to come in here and they're going to be like forced to bro down with us and be like, hey, like Japan's pretty, especially when you're in a foreign country and you meet like an American or a Canadian in their case, you instantly are friends.
Oh, I mean, you're like, dude, yeah, I've like been on a couple tours and it is funny when you're in another country, like, especially I was like, I remember we were with Ty Dolla Sign and it was, he was just like, had to be nice to us because there's only like a couple people that spoke English.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's like the one situation this guy's going to talk to me is because there's like for everybody's sure. speaking German besides me and like my
right.
friends.
Like he needs, we need each other.
Yeah,
right
we
now.
Just need to find out like basic information. Like,
yeah.
But dude. Wait, you were starting to tell us a story about South by. With Joey.
Oh my god.
That was funny.
Yeah,
I thought maybe you should tell that one.
I was trying. Yeah, I was trying to remember if Brandon was with me, and I kind of think he was. I think it was when
he
was doing
an auction. Yeah, I was there that night, yeah.
But it's like, you know, South By is so just like insane and like discombobulated. And a few years back, there was that dude that drove through 6th Street or whatever and like hit some people with his car. So I feel like that. Like mentality was always kind of looming.
Yeah.
And we were in the green room waiting to do a show and it was me, Brandon, Joey Perp, Joey's manager, Ziga, I think. And like, we hear like, I don't know if we heard shots or what happened, but like somebody shot a gun, classic Texas Scott style into the sky on 6th Street. And people are like fucking freaking out, like running into the street, running into the venues, and like we're in the green room on the second floor, but like people are trying to like get away from the shooting, so they run into our green room and they're like, please, like somebody's shooting on 6th Street, like help. And Joey's like, y'all need to get out of our green room right now, bro. And we're like, no, like these people actually, like I think there's like something going down outside.
Yeah, these
and it's
are
like
people looking for refuge,
but it was just like the our brain of like, this is like, you can't be in the green room. It was like, bro, no, bro, there's like a shooting.
Is your name on the list?
Right. Yeah, like, are you on the list for this green room? Like, no, I'm not. See, I miss, that's the sort of stuff I miss. Not the shootings.
Dude,
in public. I definitely don't miss
shooting victims out of my green room.
Yeah. No, I definitely, not that, but I do miss like the
oh, just like chaos?
The chaos.
Just like things happening,
thing about,
basically.
Festival. What
just
was that,
like,
Jack?
Things happening. Like just anything happening is what I miss.
Yeah. Good or bad. Like it. Another thing about like the festival life and touring festivals is like, I think people see it and they're like, oh, this is really great. You're doing a bunch of festivals. But like, you know, as I was saying, like sometimes you don't like pull a big crowd. Sometimes you do. And it's hard to control that. But like when I played Coachella 2 years ago, first of all, it was like 2 o'clock. And it was 100-something degrees. And so, like, nobody's just going to stand in the sun and watch somebody at, you know, like, in 100 degrees at 2 o'clock in the day. And on top of that, I'm playing. I had a decent-sized audience. And all of a sudden, the Yodel Boy gets brought out at the stage across from me. And while I'm performing, I'm just watching my entire audience leave to go see the Yodel Boy.
The Walmart Yodeler?
The Walmart Yodeler, because he had just popped off like 2 days before. So people were like,
what's his name?
I don't know. I think it's better that we don't know his name.
Mason Ramsey.
He just popped off. And I was like, you know, like you got to think about like, I've been looking forward to playing Coachella for like a really long time. And I get there and I'm like, now is my moment. And I literally start hearing the Yodel Boy like at the tent across the desert. And I'm like, no. No, like,
oh, right.
The whole audience is leaving.
And all that shit you were complaining about with the internet, it's just like, it's so real in that moment.
Yeah, I used
because
to.
Because you're, it's literally like, oh, people are leaving to go see the fucking Walmart
that brings
Yodel
it
Kid.
Completely. Dude. Full circle of what we're talking about. Where it's like, and yeah. Here's the sad thing about all this. I think if I could try to put a nice bow on all this shit, it's like, I do think that the Yodel guy deserves fame. I think that,
I mean, that kid is talented.
His songs are good.
I think that the Fleetwood Mac skateboarding guy deserves fame because I think people should be encouraged to be unique individuals. And there's like increasingly less interesting people like that. But the thing is,
yeah,
like the monoculture makes them so insanely famous and just ruins them right away that it's like, then it's just, it's in bad taste to even bring them up to me. Like, imagine just like sending a Mason Ramsey video now to somebody, just being like, yo, check out what Mason Ramsey's up to. It's just like they make him too famous. It's like those people could have had sort of like good medium-sized careers.
They could have had like a nice slow build.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah. What is Damn Daniel or Mason Ramsey doing now? Like,
dude, I heard somebody say like Damn Daniel in a rap song that came out like 2 years ago or whatever, but I heard it the other day and I was like, oh, this song is horrible.
Well, it's just, yeah, like, yeah, it's just...
Why did they just like timestamp it with like Damn Daniel?
It's like, just sad because it's just like, it gets so big that it just gets completely ruined instantly. And it's like,
also imagine being that kid and like being like 22 and on a date with a girl now. And he's like, I'm actually like, have you ever seen that Damn Daniel video? And she's like, yeah, of course. And he's like, yeah, that's me actually. And she's like, oh, like,
oh, you're Daniel.
Really weird.
You're Daniel. No, yeah. No. I'm the well, other guy.
Oh,
I'm the other guy.
Yeah, I'm in the background.
I mean, that's like, that's the fucked up thing about that whole Damn Daniel situation is because there was the lead who got all the love, but the guy who is the auteur behind all this, the writer director,
he editor, got no love.
Writer director editor producer, he's behind the camera. He is not Daniel.
That's a sad truth of this world, Brandon. You know
he's trying to fucking. I'm sure. Who knows what they're...
But yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it is kind of dark because, like, those people, they get a taste. Like, Mason Ramsey, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. Like, Mason Ramsey got to play to, like, a giant, like, screaming crowd at Coachella. And, like, who gets to do that in their life? Very few people. But at the same time, mm-hmm. It might be weird because, like, I'm sure for a lot of those people, they get that taste of fame and they start thinking big things. I mean, like, all right, next up, like, I'm going on my tour. Like, and this is just going to go forever. And like, I'll be the next Billy Ray Cyrus where like my kids are going to be famous, you know? And it's just
dude,
like,
I feel like we've probably all had that independently in our own lives. Like I got a Grammy when I was like 23. I was like, I never have to work another day in my life. Like I literally thought that for like a little bit. And then it's like, think about Mason Ramsey now
as a kid. It's just, it's fucked up.
Right.
There needs to be like a really dark indie movie about like the trajectory of somebody that like after that happens to them.
I mean, I just searched him. He seems to be doing all right.
I think he's doing. I mean, he still has a chance for like
normality.
He's
on that Old Town Road remix.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know what? He's probably making an exuberant amount of money, but he's just probably like, God, like I don't know. Like it's weird. Another situation where it's like I don't envy these people at all. Like I'm very happy with like my childhood life of not being famous and like, you know, that I feel like that would suck. Like there's videos back when he was popping off where his friends were like, Mason, can you buy me a PlayStation 5 or something? And it's like, imagine you're like 10 and your best friend just gets like rich as fuck and you're like, yeah, dude, can you like let's go be like rich kids or something.
I mean,
like,
yeah, we've talked about this before, how like episode one, Anakin Skywalker, his life just became hell.
Oh, like Jake the actual Lloyd. Kid?
Yeah.
Well, like really?
Because it's not, well, yeah, like things got, he got bullied at school a lot and I think he kind of resented being famous.
I mean, I actually went to school with the guy. And I don't, like, I disagree with the way. I mean, that's.
You did?
I mean, he went to Columbia. But like he would get mad at people all the time, you know, like that. If he didn't want to be an actor, that sucks. But it's also just like, bro, like, yeah, you got like a tent. You were a Jedi. Like most people would kill.
He was a child.
Yeah, I know.
Like that's the thing is like, I don't think you don't have the mental wherewithal to like make any decisions for
it
yourself.
It is weird
so,
for
like,
parents to do that to their kid. Be like, hey, you're going to be
an
actor.
I mean, it should be illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, it should. I don't know. I think about that a lot because I'm like sometimes I'll watch like a child audition. That sounds so weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What?
Just in my
but
free
I just
time.
Hold up. Going back to YouTube, there was like a thing that came up on my sidebar that was like the kid in E.T. auditioning for E.T. and like his audition is like incredible. Like I'm like, oh, you're like actually a really good actor,
yeah,
and you're also a child at the same time.
But my thing with Anakin is like, he complains about it like it was like a really embarrassing thing. Like, oh, you couldn't even understand like how much it sucked. It's not like, you know, it'd be one thing if like Gibby was saying that, like where you played like kind of like this. Noah Monk, friend of the pod.
Put some respect on his name.
Or good like guy. If you played Gibby, it's like friend and regretted pod. It. That's one thing where it's like, oh, this is like kind of an embarrassing child role. Like, you know, you were like people Urkel laughed at you, you know, people laughed at your character.
Yeah.
Anakin Skywalker. I mean, you were objectively
cool. That's like the coolest shit but possible.
Yeah, it's cool if you are like, if it's cool like on the surface, but I think that Phantom Menace became this fucking boogeyman for Star Wars fans where it's like you have the whole Star Wars fan base, like a good chunk of them, the bulk of Star Wars fans, like purists who are like these nerds that have been waiting for this movie for years. They see this movie, hate it, and then they hate you. They hate you, a child. A bunch of grown adult men, a bunch of like neckbeards you don't know, hate you. That is insane. That is like not, that is fucking inhumane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is like so fucked, man. But yeah, man, I fucking miss music festivals, dude.
All right, well,
I did want to say.
What do you got to say, yeah, Brandon? Like,
oh, I mean, just like just speaking of music festivals, I just remembered we were both at when we were at Life is Beautiful. Like, it's so funny doing comedy at a music festival sometimes because like you'll see like music festival like festival culture guys.
Like a girl like with a flower crown just like sitting and watching you do comedy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I
like
I,
on
I
Molly. Was,
yeah, like they had this one indoor, they had this, the one indoor venue at Life is Beautiful was the comedy venue. And I think like a lot of times with these music festivals, sometimes the bulk of the people that are at the comedy show are people that are, want to see the comedy, but a lot of times there's some people that only want air conditioning.
Yeah, you think right. So? And I think that's a lot of them.
Yeah. I remember there was this dude that I remember watching like I'm watching Hannibal do stand up and I like I'm watching like from above and I look in the audience and I just see this one dude that's like who's clearly tripping, who has like this, he has like one of those like light up balls where it's like a bunch of like, you know what I'm talking about? One of
yeah,
those like
sure.
colorful things.
Yeah.
Like he's like playing with, you know, with neon fucking knickknacks while watching like Hannibal do like, tell like, you know, do like dry observations.
Nightmarish.
You know?
Cause you know, that's like, you think your friend might be ODing, like step one is like, okay, let's like bring him into air conditioning and like give him some water.
Right.
And like step two is take him to the weird hospital where they like cover up your possible death or whatever. Like,
oh
like yeah,
God.
We're going to take you to our private doctors and our private police. But like for anybody going through that, imagine like getting a bad batch of drugs. And it's like that step one must be terrible where you're just like, guys, I feel like I'm dying. And they're like, look, we're going to take you to see some stand-up comedy first.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll feel better. Awful. Awful.
Oh my God, that's so jacked.
Yeah. And, yeah. Anyway.
I don't miss that, but...
I do want to... You were mentioning that you did want to tell a story about Boston while we're talking about pre-COVID times.
Oh my God. This was crazy. So I like got asked to play at a college in Boston, and college shows are like real 50-50. Like, you know, sometimes it's the most fun show of your life. And it's like 150 like wasted college kids who are just like trying to party so hard and they're going to turn the fuck up no matter what. And this was a little different because it's like Boston. So it's like academia and, you know, different vibe. And we show up.
Oh, wait, what college is this?
I can't remember. It was like, you know, there's like four colleges that are all like one campus in Boston.
Yeah.
And so like we show up to the campus and like they're like bringing us over to where we're playing. And it's like a classroom. Like it was not like a place for music whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
It was like not even a lecture hall, somewhere in between a classroom and a lecture hall, maybe like a 35 person classroom. And I'm just like, this is not like, they're big. Like, what is this? This is not big. There's no stage in here. There was no stage. There was like,
oh, fuck,
really not enough like gear to like properly run our show. And we just flew out from Chicago to play this one show. And I'm just like, I don't think this can happen, really. And as we're walking up, we start hearing this like psychotic sounding music. And we're getting closer, and it's just becoming more and more evident that the opening act for me is like a 25 person college like brass ensemble.
Oh my
of
God.
Like all the crustiest like music kids ever, and yeah, they're just like doing literally covers of like Raining Blood by Slayer all exclusively on brass instruments in a really small room.
Oh,
so
no.
It's so loud, and they're all like just like quintessential like band creepy kids, and like we walked inside the room and I was like, oh, this is not, we can't play, we literally can't play. And it smelled so bad, like BO, because all the brass kids were sweating their asses off. And the police came and shut their show down. And
yeah, we got a smell complaint.
No, because it was too loud. They shut their show down, cleared everybody out of the venue, and then they were like, you still have to play. So everybody left. Like everybody left, and there was literally like five kids still there that were like, you still have to play. And like me and my band played for like five kids in a classroom with no division between the stage and the audience. So these kids were like, man, in my face, like, yeah, like they were still stoked, but it was literally five these people. Five,
oh my God.
In a classroom.
But you still got paid like thousands of dollars.
I still got paid thousands of dollars,
yeah,
but
wait,
walking away.
So what are we talking here? I normally wouldn't ask this, but like, I'll explain later, but do you remember approximately how much we're talking here? Because I'm like, there's no way this was completely, had to be a loss for them. Like, because the...
Well, colleges pay, like, that's the great thing about colleges is
they
it doesn't matter
to.
How many people show
yeah.
up.
Yeah, they have to put on these shows. Like, the you know, music community of the Boston College is given a budget, and if they don't use it, they just shut the
Got
program
it,
down.
Yeah.
So they're like, they're down to take the loss. Like, I don't know, man. They pay definitely a couple thousand. Not, like, more than, like, 7,000 probably, but like, yeah,
because it's funny because it's like, yeah,
money.
Just pissing it away for like, it's not even the chance of it being a good show. You're putting it in a classroom and you're like booking these bands to just play something that's doomed.
And the police
from the
are coming yeah. and like,
oh, an orchestra, by the dude, way, that, a yeah, symphony opening being the opening act is very funny.
It's well, so
yeah,
funny.
College symphony. I mean, colleges love to book students as openers. Which
yeah.
is why I definitely, once I got to the point where I could do it, I was like, I'm absolutely bringing my own opener every single time.
For
because,
sure.
like, colleges love to book you on a show, and then they're like, all right, so your opener is, there's going to be 10 students who do comedy, who, they've all done comedy twice. And
right.
they're all going to, these 10 students are all going to perform. And then the college improv team is going to do a 30-minute set.
It's going to be 9
and
hours.
Then you do an hour.
9 hours.
Like, this sort yeah. of band is the thing that can literally only exist in a college town. Like, they would never be able to tour to even one other city. Just buying bus tickets for everybody would cost, like, $1,000 for them at least. So it's like, this was their, like, one shot, like, you know, maybe we get the brass band together and like we do covers of our favorite songs. Like it just was such a horrible idea. But I mean, I have endless stories like that, I feel like. But
dude, we got to have you back on again. We need to get to these.
I would love to. Yeah, we can do a more focused one on just tour horror stories because they're so good to recount now.
Yeah.
Looking back, you're like, God damn, that was
well, dude,
horrible and I don't miss it, but incredible and I do.
Please plug
it.
Your album while we have you.
Oh.
I mean,
yeah, so my album is called Stockchild Wonder. It's coming out October 30th, and I just dropped the video for the third single, Gemini, which I truly believe is the best video of 2020. I'm not just saying that because it's my own thing and I'm plugging it. Like, I'm really trying to get, like, a VMA for it, and I'm such a small artist that that's impossible that I get a VMA, but I think I deserve it. So if you guys check out Gemini, you'll
I'll
like
watch
it.
I watched it last night. It's good.
It's good, right? Nobody makes
it's
good
great.
Music
I'm
videos
gonna watch it.
Like that anymore. You definitely should. And
it's all like such a labor of love. It's, you know, you're doing it very DIY. And I'm, dude, like putting a lot of work into these videos.
Yeah, I think people also just see videos now and they're like huge budget, like CGI animated videos or something, and they're all really bad.
An ass like shaking next to a Beats pill.
Exactly. Like that's like every music video. Yeah. And I feel like we killed this video and it's really good. And I just want the maximum visibility for it.
Let's Twitter do your thing. Let's go.
Twitter, do your damn thing.
One little thing before we go. After this episode, we are going into Halloween mode. This year there's going to be two Yeah But Still Halloween specials. I'm super excited about them. They're both going to be Patreon episodes. I will be luring you behind the paywall if you aren't already. So no main episode next week. We're going Halloween mode until November. So stay tuned for that. Spread the word. Knox Fortune, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to play you out with your new song, Gemini. So thanks again, dude.
Peace.